And I'm watching my watch, and I am going to give you several minutes. One more minute, and then because we are shortening, we're compressing this workshop into a smaller time frame, I will stop you. Normally, I would go a little bit further, but we'll just go about another minute. And usually this section of the workshop becomes quite emotional for the people who are writing these. So if you're feeling some emotions, you're just like the rest of us.
I guess not yet for me, because I'm writing only outlines. I wanted to make sure I have enough outlines and components to it, then I can finish this tomorrow.
And at this point in the workshop, I generally invite people if they would care to share what they've written. And do we have anybody that would care to share what they've written?
Does anyone want to share? Because I know Hannah had talked about her grandmother. Would you like to share? Go ahead.
Yeah, I'll share. I was writing a letter to my daughter, Jada, and I only have like two sentences. but I said, "Dear Jada, I wanted to name you Jade because I thought you were a special gem. Oh. But Jada sounded better with your surname. But I wanted you to understand why Jada. You are and have always been very special, and I hope you know that." And that's as far as I got.
Oh, that's
wow, that's beautiful.
Yes. Yes. Anybody else brave enough?
So Hannah had put something in the chat box, and she wrote, "The life lesson, life has taught me that kindness is what counts and what we should all strike for." Wow, amazing.
All right. Thank you, too, for being brave enough and sharing a little bit. If you actually do this workshop, you'll find that it continues for quite a period. And then there will be lulls, and then somebody else will say, "Oh, I'd like to share mine, too." And by the way, also as an aside, on my website, you'll find I've written a couple of articles about this five-part method, if you want to read some more about it, just about the five-part method. All right, what about some other ways? What are other ways that people, that you might share your legacies? Annette was a client of mine years ago, and she said, "I am not a writer at all. There's no way that I can do that." We thought about it some more, and she said, "But I love to cook. And how about if I make a recipe, a cookbook?" And so she had a lot of kids and a lot of grandkids. So she contacted each one of those and asked for their favorite recipe of things that she made. And then she got a picture of them. And with the help of her technologically brilliant daughter, she put together this cookbook and gave it to them as a Christmas gift. And the family loved it. Now you also see little aprons in here. So she did more than just make the cookbook. She made everybody an apron. And she made an apron for me too. This was mine. You can see my name. She's embroidered my name right on it. Everybody embroidered, had their name embroidered. And then there's a pocket on the apron. Now mine was just made of random scraps, but not the one that went to Bill and Mary and Susie, because growing up, she made all the kids' clothes. And then she saved them if they went, you know, for the next kids coming down, but then she kept them in a rag bag and they became the beginning of quilts. So she went in and she made an apron for Mary, but it had clothing that Mary had worn as a little girl in the quilt that she put in Mary's pocket. And everybody loved that one. Right, another lady who said, I can't do those legacy litter things, but we thought, she said, well, I could write about the houses we lived in. She was married to a very successful neurosurgeon. And every time he got a promotion, they had moved into a new house. So they had lived in 6 houses in the St. Pete area. And so what she did was took the picture and then she wrote a story, 1, 2, or 3 pages, and put this together. And she gave it to her son at Christmas time. And she also gave me a copy of this booklet that she had done. And with a little note, she said, "Dear Kathleen, here's a copy of my version of a legacy letter," unquote. "Please overlook the mistakes in grammar and spelling. I really enjoyed doing this, although it was painful at times. I gave it to my son on his birthday. He liked it very much and wants me to fill some more information about the fun times. Maybe another project for next summer." And she did. She wrote another book the following year on it. She said her son had said, "Well, I wish you could write more." And she said, "Well, we only lived in 6 houses." And he said, "Well, just write more about what happened in those 6 houses." This one was not written by Stuart, but it was written by Stuart's life. Unfortunately, Stuart retired in January of 2012. And in March of 2012, he died of a heart attack. They were on their way to a hiking camping trip and he died. He had a heart attack. But his wife worked together with a ghostwriter and put together this lovely book, which when they had the memorial service for Stuart, which was months later, she gave everyone in attendance this booklet, and it covers everything from his life as a little child all the way, he had been a college professor and then was a financial planner, but all the way through the end. And she felt so good. And so it was actually part of a healing process for her. And I mentioned ghostwriters because there are professionals out there who will work with individuals who want to create more extensive legacy letters or legacy books, if you will. And they, if you just Google online, you'll find them. The prices are all over the place, but there are a number of people that do this professionally. Interestingly enough, there are professionals that also do it with photography. They will take individual pictures of family members and then they'll paint them together in a painting. And then whoever hires them to make this painting writes the story with it. Or there's jewelry that can be done with legacy. The ring, there are 3 rings over on the left side. The larger one in the middle was my diamond from my late husband. The smaller diamond behind it was my grandmother's diamond from her second marriage. She had been widowed and she also remarried when she was in her 70s. And then the band with 9 diamond chips was my mother's ring. Daddy was a poor farmer. The picture at the middle, there's me, but believe it or not, when I had brown hair, that was before the gray era. And then my mother and my grandmother, who, when grandma died, she gave her diamond to my mother. Mom didn't know what to do with it, so she just kept it. So then when mom died, I got grandma's diamond, her diamond chips, and my ring. I put them in my safe they were there for 8 years because I did not know what to do with them. I didn't know. But then finally I found a great jeweler and we designed together and came up with this legacy ring. And every time I wear this, I think in terms of 3 strong widows together. And I've got my ring on right now, actually. So you can see what it looks like. But there are many, many wonderful things that can be done with jewelry. And I've helped widows to do that. And then they write stories about that for the next generation. There are some other kinds of forever and ever legacy gifts. Dorothy and Bob, both have passed on now. He was 90 when he died. She was in her late 80s. They never had children, but they had a lot of charitable interests, very, very committed to their Christian church. They never had children, as I said, but they raised a foster daughter. However, she had a lot of problems. And when she was on her own, she got into drugs. She had a child out of wedlock. And she also just was not good with money at all. She just, it went through her fingers like water. She couldn't hold a job. They wanted to do something to take care of that foster daughter, but they didn't want to give her outright money at their death because they said she would just blow it and she would probably buy the biggest drug hit and it would kill her. So they set up a plan where a part of their money at their death went into a testamentary charitable gift annuity set up at death. And every year on this foster daughter's birthday, she received an income payment from this gift annuity. And then eventually when that foster daughter passes on, the bulk that's left in the gift annuity will go to their church and facilitate more of the things that they did during their lifetime in supporting the ministries. Now they also made a video. And in fact, that's when I got a new camera that had a video attachment. And it was the very first video that I made. And I made a video of them talking about their life together and what they were doing in this plan, because they said the relatives would appreciate that someday. And so years later, when they both were gone and Dorothy died last, but I told the family that I had this video, and they played the video at the memorial service. And the family was really, really happy because they talked a lot about their values and what was really important for them and about this daughter. This is a picture of my late husband, Tom, who died in 2007. And part of my legacy really has become the book. And I guess I need to update the little bio that you've got on me, because now there's actually more than 80,000 copies of this in circulation.
You just became the best selling author.
It was written as a gift book for like people like chaplains and hospice workers and pastors and estate planning attorneys and financial advisors to give to widows, or what you did with your friend, actually. Right. And then I took a lot of the proceeds from the sale of that book and set up it's called Moving Forward on Your Own Family Foundation. It's within the Community Foundation of Tampa Bay. So it's like a donor advised fund. And we've given like 50 grants to organizations that help widows and children of these women. And that feels really good. And then I'm in the process. We were talking like right before we got started. And in a couple of weeks, I'll be signing the paperwork that will establish plans for the Moving Forward Endowment. And this is going to happen after I die. And it's a special program that maybe I'll do another talk on it for you next year. But it's a way that we'll give forever and forever to causes that are special to my heart. I talked about this book of stories and letters and poems. I think I've got about 60, maybe it's more than that, written now. And I've done a lot of them as part of legacy writing circles. And these are two circles that I've got going. Part of the year I live in St. Pete and part of the year I live in Saratoga Springs, New York. And you can probably guess which is winter and which is summer. And we're getting ready to transfer to this winter location. And I'm very happy because it's cold up here in New York. But we have legacy writing circles, people who are interested about writing memoir kinds of things. And it stimulates us all to work together. And it's a lot of fun. So what else have people done with legacy writing? I mentioned just briefly the video. Some folks have made videos that they have to show after they're gone. And by the way, I said after they're gone, legacy letters, some of my clients wanted to share their letters before they passed on. They were just so tickled with what they'd done, like the gal who wrote the booklet. about the houses. And then others, like my mother, wanted them to be shared after she had passed on. It all depends. Obituary, that could be a stitch. I've written my own obituary. I got tired of seeing all these very somber obituaries in the paper. So I've written an obituary that's got a little bit more kick to it. But that's a form of legacy letter you could write. I mentioned earlier the places that you might do this that would be welcoming you. Hospice facilities. I've got a friend who helps people who are in hospice to actually write legacy letters. She goes in and they dictate and they talk about stories and she writes them. Lifelong learning centers, if you have OSHA organizations in your town, community foundations, church groups are wonderful, wonderful places to do these. And you probably will be welcomed with open arms. And the last time I did this one, it was the care team of a congregation and the endowment fund. That's another great fund place. Endowment places that work with endowments, they like to sponsor things like this. So I'm going to stop my sharing at this point, and I've been talking really, really fast, and I'm at almost 45 minutes, which I promised I would do.
Well, I wish we have a little bit more time. Today is just one of those days. I have a lot of things that lined up. So thank you so much for going through the workshop, even though it's a very, very short time. But I'm able to kind of formulate what I would do. And I think that's a great exercise to do. Oftentimes, our loved ones don't necessarily get to hear, well, all these values that we're trying to pass on. So thank you so much for doing that. This is so great to have you. We're definitely going to have you come back to talk about that testamentary charitable remainder trust that you and I talked about before the session. I think that's going to be a very, very informative and very great idea for a lot of estate planning type of clients that could certainly do that. When you were talking about it, I was thinking about I should do that. That will be a fascinating thing to do.
I've had a group of we call ourselves the Fab Four. Uh-huh. We're all refired and in the group, and I shared with them actually earlier today what it is that I'm doing, and two of them said, "Oh my gosh, here's my situation. I think that could work perfectly for me. Can you tell me some more?" It's a real win-win.
Yeah, definitely. I think that's a great idea. But next time when you're back, we're definitely going to dive into how did you get it set up? Who did you work with? And how does one actually able to get it established? So thank you. We're so glad to have you in the Next Gen Mentoring Forum session today. Today is really invaluable in terms of writing the legacy letters and at least help me think more beyond just what I do day to day, because there are other things more important than work. I also wanted to thank California Lutheran University School of Management Financial Planning Program for sponsoring today's Next Gen Mentoring Forum. California Lutheran University School of Management offers MBA in financial planning, helps financial advisors pursue a leadership position or grow their financial planning practice by deploying advanced financial planning, effective client communication, and to streamline practice management. Please sign up for our info session. As a matter of fact, our info session is actually today, right after this session. If you haven't signed up yet, please do. Our next-gen mentoring forum is on December 7th. We have attorney Colleen Carcone, who is going to talk about the Biden tax updates. So be well and be safe, and we'll see you next time. Thank you, Dr. Beal.
Thank you.
Take care.